You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lou Need, and today I have the honor of introducing a phenomenal young lady to the show today, Lindsay Sharma. She is the founder of Lindsay Sharma Property Buyers. Before starting her company, like many of us, we find the need. And hers, she worked for a real estate investor where she obtained excellent expertise, but she witnessed several industry practices that were questionable. And so she took that as a lead to create her own company to actually fit that need. And so she didn't appreciate how many of the investors treated the sellers in the transaction, and they didn't take the time to kind of build the trust, build the connection that is necessary, foundation for a healthy relationship, right? And so she went out and Lindsay Sharma Property was born. And so I'm really excited to have her on board to get all her, hear about her experience. So with no further ado, Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Hey, it's a pleasure. It's a journey. I love to hear heroes' journeys. And so yours, I know, started off with working for real estate investors. How did we even get into real estate starting off? Let's talk about that.
Sure. So I grew up in Toledo, Ohio, which is the Midwest. The city I grew up in was a big auto industry city, mm-hmm. along with Detroit, about an hour from Detroit. And as I was growing up, I saw the auto industry diminish, and a lot of middle-class families were hit very hard. The area became very depressed. And so I pretty much grew up in a blue-collar, middle-class family. And, you know, we always had what we needed. My family was taken care of. But, you know, I saw both of my parents working very hard. And that kind of formed my own personal money mindset. And so I went to college. I was fortunate enough to go to college. I got a bachelor's degree, and my degree was in graphic design. And then when I graduated in 2007. Of course, the financial crisis hit in 2008. I had a very hard time getting a job in my field, getting any job mm-hmm. at all. My first job right out of college had nothing to do with my major. And so I spent probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years post-college graduation, just kind of job hopping. I did get into the graphic design industry eventually. I did a lot of freelancing during that time. And I also started a graphic design business, which I ran for a couple of years. But it was really more of a job. I didn't really treat it like a business. And at that time, I started educating myself on finances, building wealth, passive income, just reading a lot of books, really learning. And I came across real estate as a good way to build passive income. So I started learning more about it, reading a lot of books. A lot of real estate investors will tell you the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad got them into mm-hmm. real estate, kind of changed their life. And that was true for me as well. It just kind of opened my eyes to the possibilities. But I was still working in graphic design, and I didn't really know how to transition or to what first step to take to start investing in real estate. It was very scary. So I decided, hey, why don't I try getting a job working for somebody? I can see what they do in their business every day and also get paid a salary to be learning and getting that experience. So that's exactly what I did. I found someone in my local area hiring who was an experienced real estate investor. And I was fortunate enough to work for him for about 3 years. And I was involved in every part of his business. So that was just such a great learning experience for me. And I actually bought my first investment property while I was working there for him. And then I eventually got to the point where I thought it was time to go off on my own. And that's when I started my business, Lindsay Sharma Property Buyers.
Yeah, fantastic. It's getting out of college and not having the work that you studied or the lack of, right? So it's really frustrating for the generation coming out of school, expecting that, you know, you get a job, you know, immigrants, you know, you get a job after college, you made it. And so it's mm-hmm. across the board. It's difficult nowadays to kind of find work. And so a lot of this generation is going out and creating the work, making the businesses, yeah. making the companies. And for you, you're no exception because you did the freelancing, you did the graphic design work.
Yeah.
How was that a transition? Because you left that and then went to work for the expert. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, running that business taught me a lot, but I was essentially, I had the skills. So I was kind of selling my skills by the hour instead of really running a business. And I saw that I was basically owning a job. And when I started working on my financial education and learning more about businesses and investing and building wealth, I realized that's not an actual business that I own. So I kind of learned the difference. And I think that was really helpful now for how I run my business, because instead of me doing everything, I hire people who are more skilled in areas where I have weaknesses. And an example of that is my acquisition manager. This is the person who's talking directly with sellers, people selling their home, because that's essentially a sales position. And I am terrible at sales because I'm more of a creative, strategic, task-oriented person as opposed to like a people person.
Yeah, you tapped into something very crucial for any entrepreneur is hiring, not being the smartest person in the room and knowing that and being comfortable with that notion, because you are hiring smart people so they can do what they do to leave you so you can work on the business, you know? And so that's very important piece key here is hiring well.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the types of properties that you do buy and then some of them. What do you do with them after? Because now you've got a couple under your belt now. So tell us more.
Sure. So when you say real estate investing, that can mean a lot of different things. Some investors fix and flip properties. That's a lot of those shows you see on HGTV, things like that. There's also investors who buy properties and hold them in their portfolio and rent them out. And there's a handful of other strategies, which I won't go too much into. But for me, I do what's called wholesaling, meaning I buy a property, I get it under contract, and I resell it to another investor. And those are usually those fix and flippers or landlords. So I do a lot of that just to create capital, basically, to also invest in my properties and to pay for my business's overhead, marketing, all of that stuff. So wholesaling helps with that. But the other thing I do is I have rental homes that I hold in my portfolio, and I have owner finance homes. An owner finance home is where I buy a property and I essentially become the bank and I loan money to the buyer. So they own the home and they're making payments to me. And I love doing that because I'm serving a market that a lot of times banks do not serve. So I will lend money and give home ownership to people who are self-employed, maybe people who are not citizens, people who, you know, they have income, they're able to pay for the home, but maybe they have some credit issues in the past. So I think my lending standards are different than what a bank standards are because I'm just an individual, I'm a small business. So I'm able to do things a little more creatively than a traditional institution. So I love doing that because it really creates opportunity where there's tons of demand for affordable housing and giving access to home ownership to people who've been renting and want to own their own home.
Yeah, that is ideal. That is fantastic to be able to help individuals in that way. Are you local? Are you Arkansas, I believe?
So I actually lived in Arkansas for 10 years, and I recently this year moved to Florida with my family to be closer to my mom and dad because we have three small children. They're all four and under, and so we want to be closer to family. But my business still runs in Central Arkansas, Little Rock area. My team is there. So I'm still doing business there, but just working remotely, basically.
So most of your properties are in that area?
Correct. Yep.
Oh, nice. Then tell us about some of the challenges having to, you know, now that you're just doing it remotely, what are some challenges having to, because there's time difference, some challenges mm-hmm. engaging the team and motivating them to actually do it being remote.
Yeah. So there are a lot of investors who run their businesses completely remote. They invest in markets that are not in their backyard. What I would say is probably easiest for someone getting started to invest in the market closest to them where they live, if that's possible. But sometimes it's not possible because we have some really expensive markets here in the United States. But some challenges that come with that is 100% depending on other people. So I can't physically go look at the property. I need someone to go there for me, be my eyes and ears, take pictures. I can always find somebody to do that, but you know, there's challenges with that. Also, when I'm selling a property on owner financing, before I moved to Florida and I was still local to Little Rock, I would meet my buyers face to face. And a lot of them, it made them a lot more comfortable with me, made me more comfortable with them. It was just nice to sit down in the office and talk together. And I can still do calls like this, Zoom calls with them, but a lot of the people I work with, they're a demographic that doesn't necessarily have computers in their home. Or maybe they're not that skilled on their computer, so they don't really want to do a Zoom call. So that's been a challenge, is just not being able to meet them face to face. But I still am able to conduct business. I mean, we'll just build the rapport over the phone instead.
Yeah, and that's key. That's important for you because you started off with the need to have the trust and connection in this space, right? Because you saw the lack of it in the beginning in your career exposure. What are some challenges being a woman in this industry?
Yeah, I love that question. So I would say number one is lack of representation. I think representation is very important. And the last statistic I saw showed that only 35% of real estate investors are women. So it's still very male dominated. So what that means is there's tons of educators out there, coaches, people teaching how to become a real estate investor, but most of them that I've seen are white men. So, you know, we want to learn from people who look like us, who maybe have similar demographics, similar lifestyles. And that can be challenging for somebody like me who has three little kids. Mm-hmm. I don't have a stay-at-home wife cleaning my house and doing all of those other things. So I have to do everything I do in a short, you know, I work about 5 hours a day in because I need that other time for my family. So there's just different needs, I guess. The other challenge, I think, it's probably safety. As a woman, I've gone into homes by myself and, you know, there have been times when I've been very uncomfortable, but I always, you know, I would always like park my car at the end of the driveway where no one could block me in. I would always never carry my purse with me. I would always tell somebody when I'm going to the property, give them, like I'd tell my husband I'm going here, give him the address, things like that. But I think women just have to take those extra steps, whereas men just don't really think about that and aren't as vulnerable. Not that they aren't vulnerable, but I think women are just a lot more vulnerable in that situation. So I think those are probably some major ones. And then I would say a third one is just women are socialized differently than men. So I think when it comes to being assertive and negotiating, which are two very important things to be successful as a real estate investor, doesn't always come naturally to women. They're definitely skills you can learn, but that's something I've struggled with personally, just kind of always wanting everyone to like me, wanting to people please. And I had to really learn to get over that and let go of it because I can't negotiate a good deal if it's one-sided, you know, the seller getting everything they want, I'm not getting anything I want in the deal, then I'm losing out on a lot of opportunity. It's got to be a win-win for both sides. So,
yeah, that's a big tip. And I'm glad you brought it on. Share with us some of the insights that you've learned to be able to become a better negotiator as a woman. What are some tactics?
Yeah. So being a very good listener, really, to negotiate, you have to completely understand the other person's position, where they're coming from, and what their motivation is. If you don't understand those things, then you can't negotiate and come up with solutions that will serve what they're looking for. So really understanding their motivation is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knowing what is it that they need, right? And that listening skills come in handy to hear what they're looking for so you can try to find a middle ground.
Exactly. And then I think another part of that is just asking very good open-ended questions, which again is going to help you understand them and their position.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand with selling too, right? So similar tactics a salesperson would utilize, understanding the buyer and understanding what their need are and being able to tap into the emotions of that buyer.
Absolutely.
And then in terms of future forward and looking, what are some trends? Like, what do you see is happening? You know, we're post-COVID now. Yes, real estate's available. Some places are higher, cost more. What are some insights that can impact on property buyers in the coming years?
What I'm seeing in the current real estate market is that there's still a lack of inventory. There's more buyers than houses available. So that's pushing housing prices are still going up. Mm-hmm. And rents are also going up as well. And that's further creating this affordable housing crisis. So a big trend that I'm seeing, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for smart investors if they're able to create more accessible housing for people. And one thing that we're seeing more and more of is what you call room sharing or pad sharing, where a house, like a single family home, is being rented out by the room. I have an investor friend who actually lived in a multifamily home for single moms. So each mom had their own room, but they kind of lived as a community, supported each other, helped each other out. And so now she's investing in properties like that and creating these single mom communities in these larger houses, historic homes that are sometimes larger, have a lot more rooms. And she's adding bathrooms in there, things like that, to make it more comfortable of a community feel. So that's just one example. But that's what I'm seeing across the board is just, you know, there's still a crisis, and the crisis just seems to be getting worse.
Hmm. Thank you for sharing that. It's good to know what to expect. And I love that idea of the community for single moms. that's so well thought out. Tell us about you, a mom of four, I believe. Three little ones under 4 years old. And I know that can run havoc on your morning routine, because that is consistently changing and depending on them, because I have a one-year-old myself. So let's talk about how your morning routine really impacts you, how it helps you to show up for your family, but also for your business. What's your morning routine like?
Yeah, so I love talking about this. I think routine and habits are so important, especially for high-achieving people, because it's really going to help you be more productive, be more organized. So for us, my husband also works full-time. So we have been very intentional about splitting our domestic tasks as evenly as we possibly can. So in the morning, he takes care of the kids. He gets them ready for school. He drives them to school. In the evening, I do their night routine. I mean, of course, we help each other out. We're all there together, but he's primarily doing that. So usually my morning routine, I wake up around 6 o'clock. I make my coffee. Coffee is super important. I'm a little bit snobby about it. I use my French press and I grind my beans every morning, but I love it. It makes me so happy. I just love the smell of coffee. It's the best thing to start my day with. And my husband and I actually eat breakfast together. We try to eat breakfast before the kids get up, because they eat breakfast at school, and it gives us a little bit of quiet time to connect and just talk to each other, because with three little kids running around, it makes it really hard to have time, quiet time together just to talk. And it's really important to nourish our marriage. So we do that. We eat breakfast. I help a little bit, get the kids ready for school, get them in the car. He takes them to school. And then after that, I listen to a podcast or an audio book, or I like this app called Blinkist, which is like a book summaries. And I'll listen to that and walk my dog in the morning just to get a little fresh air, get some exercise, and also listen to something kind of motivating to start my day. Once I'm done with my walk, I usually shower, put on my makeup, get ready for the day. And then I start my work day from my home office. And before starting my work, I always review my goals for the year. Mm-hmm. And I look at my vision board, which I use Pinterest for. And that just helps me remember and focus on what I'm trying to achieve, and helps me prioritize what I need to work on. And I found that doing this every day has significantly increased the likelihood of me achieving my goals. Because before I started doing this, I just kind of, I would forget, I would set goals and kind of forget what they were, and they weren't really specific enough. I wasn't holding myself accountable. So I look at them every day. And then sometimes I might meditate for 10 or 15 minutes. I love a podcast called Meditation Minis, and they're just really quick guided meditations. So I'll do one of those. And then I work on planning my day. I look at my schedule And I pick three priorities to work on. And I write those things down. Along with that, I write down three things I'm grateful for as well, because I think gratitude is very important. You know, I see this with a lot of people I talk to, especially entrepreneurs and high achievers. It's we have this internal drive. We're always kind of looking for more. And I find that if you forget to be grateful and take a moment to also celebrate your accomplishments, then you kind of lose sight of what you're doing all of this for. So I think being grateful and having a gratitude practice helps increase your joy in your life. So,
yeah, I concur 100%. The attitude of gratitude each morning. I do a day one journal, three things you're grateful for each day. That significantly does help you attract more things to be grateful for, ironically. It kind of brings those more to your forefront. So you notice more of the blessings around you. Your morning routine sounds pretty nice and robust. You know, it's the part that says, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? The dressing up part, it sounds to me just a lot of mental, getting your mind ready with the podcast, with the motivation, with the reading, you know, with the meditation. It's not simply anymore just worrying about our beauty, our face, our makeup, our hair, our clothes. There's a big focus on the mental aspect, the psyche, and how to be resilient, because the day's going to throw stuff at you.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I started getting into real estate investing, that's when I really started working on my mindset, because this industry can be very challenging. Also, some of the people I talk to on a daily basis, especially people selling properties that are distressed, you just hear a lot of sad stories, hardships, things like that. And so preparing my mind, working on my mindset just helps me get through the workday a lot easier.
Of course. And I have to ask, if you go a day and, you know, it gets hectic, you do have the little ones at home, you don't get a chance to do this. And even if you're traveling, what's the energy then of the day? How different is it?
It's very different. It feels a lot more reactive. And sometimes I'll start to feel overwhelmed, especially if I didn't plan and prioritize what I'm working on, or maybe I didn't do my gratitude, then I just feel a little more frenzied. And I know that if I'm in that state, then I'm not showing up the best, and maybe I'm making my decisions with a lack of clarity. So I think that morning routine and those habits really help ground me and create clarity in my day.
Yeah, the day gets away from you. It gets a little hectic. You're just grasping for time versus being in control. Definitely can understand that. What are some tips that you would have for those who are listening that were starting out, who have their own businesses and cannot pin down a habit?
Yeah, I would say focus on one thing, maybe the most, one thing that's going to make the most impact in your life, whether it's improving your health, whether it's reducing your anxiety, whether it's becoming more organized, pick one thing and maybe set aside 5 minutes and of one habit you can do. So just start very small, very simple, and just build that commitment and consistency. So do that one thing for 5 minutes each day for 30 days, maybe challenge yourself. And once you get a little bit of consistency and commit to it, then you start to see results. Without the consistency and commitment, then you may not really see results, and it may not improve your life very much.
And that can be applied to entrepreneurship. It could be applied to starting your own business. So that's well said. It does transcend across all the facets of our life. Would I quote anything that you would want to leave us with in terms of a quote or even one tip for anyone considering buying properties?
I don't really have a quote, but one thing that we talk about a lot in my company is always putting relationships first. It's always about the connection with the person, whether it's the property seller, whether it's a person buying it, the title company. There's so, you know, real estate's just a people business. And I think a lot of businesses are people business. And we're really just always trying to find ways to help, even if it's not with us, whether it's just finding an answer for somebody or giving them a referral or a different resource, we just always want to find a way to help them. And so just leading with a service mind and connecting with people, I just think that's that guides everything we do in my company and also in my life.
Yeah, building those trust and connections. Yeah, I agree. A lot of businesses are people oriented. It's around that connection. Where do we connect you? How can we find you, Lindsay?
Yes. So I have a website. It's Lindsay, and that's spelled LINDSAY, Sharma, SHARMA, properties.com. And I'm also going to do something bold. Not everyone would do this, but I'm going to give my phone number. I love to talk to people, whether it's people, you know, interested in getting into real estate investing and they don't know where to start, anything. I love to just talk to people. And so my phone number is 501-502-0488. And you can text me, call me, be glad to help.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Lindsay, it's been such a pleasure and joy having you on the show today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Dr. Lanine. I appreciate it.
Fantastic.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.